arrows pierce my soul from without within. But my Lord leads me on through a mimer's wind. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to see forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let him lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the light, but I'll cling more close to him, he will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whate'er betide. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let him lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys low I look toward the mountain high, and behold my Savior there, leading in the fight. If the tender hound outstretched toward the valley low, guiding me, I can see as I onward go. Oh, I want, let's all stand and look upon his face, then sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let him lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my bark, he does safely keep. And he leads me gently on through this world below. He's a real friend to me, oh, I love him so. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, then sing forever of his saving grace on the streets of glory. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice.
Amen. But the Lord, love lifted me this evening. Amen. I was seen. What key? Or from a peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, from the rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessing presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so many and so true merits my soul's best songs. faithful, loving service to Him belongs. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saved. He will lift you by His love out of the angry wave. He's a master of the sea. Billows He will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be. Be saved today. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Amen. Let's hold on to God's unchanging hand. TG. Time is filled with swift transition for sure. Amen. Time is filled with swift transition. None of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. I'm singing, hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to His hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. To God's unchanging hand. Think about this. Trust in Him who will not leave you. Yes. Whatsoever years may bring. Truth. If by earthly friends forsake. Still more closely to Him cling. I'm singing, hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. God's unchanging hands. Covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. seek to gain the heavenly treasures. They will never pass away. I'm singing to God's unchanging hand. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. I like this right here. When your journey is completed, if to God you have been true, yes, fair and bright the home in glory, your enraptured soul. Saying ho to God's unchanging hand. Ho to God's unchanging hand. It's eternal. To God's unchanging hand. Brother Jonas, you want to come this evening? Amen. Sister Christine, song this evening.
At the first day, he felt never trusting to the iniquities. Most of the times in the world, the administration of the church, and
y'all may be seated. I guess I was praying for a double blessing. I got two plates out. Amen. Amen. Sister Christine comes. If you all will remember, don't get this confused. Now, it's Jeff Stewart, Amy Hughes Stewart, which is Jeffrey's dad. His wife's father passed away, and she has really no family close to her. And we're like brothers and sisters, all four of us, so.
This is a song that Brother Rowell wrote in the early 90s.
Your glorious presence.
Let's all stand. Let's call Brother Wade out. He is here. He is here. Amen. If that's okay. He is here. Hallelujah. Amen. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy, I will bless His name again. He is here. Listen closely. Hear Him calling out.
Your buddy, love you, man.
You can touch Him, you will never be the same. He is here. Hallelujah.
You believe that?
Amen. He is here. Holy, holy, I will bless His name again. He is here. Listen closely. Hear Him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch Him. You will never be the same. Amen. One touch.
That's it.
One touch.
Lord.
One touch from the Lord. That's all we need. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see each and every one of you here. Good to be back. We had a wonderful time. Brother Luis done a good job preaching Sunday. Yep, did a good job. We appreciate him going with us, too. We appreciate the... I'd have never been able to interpret. So it's good to have him with us to interpret for us. We sure appreciate Brother Luis and his family. And we appreciate each and every one of you. Let's go ahead and get the announcements out of the way. Brother Bob did a wonderful job this Sunday also, and Brother Ryan, too. So thank you for being here, fellas. Bible study will be this coming Saturday, 6 to 8 o'clock. If you have questions and answers, please send them to me or give them to me tonight or just bring them with you. But I'd like to have them a little bit early. I've got about four more that I already have from the last time that I haven't answered. So we will try our best to do that from 6 to 8 on Saturday. Also, Sunday, we'll have cake and ice cream after second service for Sister Dale's 81st birthday, which is actually on Monday. Remember the Father's Day fishing outing for the Saturday, June the 17th, will be at Terrence's Pond. And bring your fishing poles, and we'll have something to eat, I promise you. We'll cook hamburgers or hot dogs, or we may do low country boil, we may do something, but we will have something to eat. I promise you, you won't get hungry. All right, remember that. Remember also the next Saturday, June the 24th, we'll have a prayer meeting from 7 to 8 because our annual meeting on July the 4th will be on July 1st and 2nd this year. So we'll have a prayer meeting from 7 to 8 on Saturday the 24th here as we usually do. July 1st and 2nd, July the 1st, Brother Jewel Forney will be with us. That'll be Saturday. We'll start around 4 or 5 o'clock. I'll let you know a little bit more ahead of time. I'd like for Brother Jewel to stay over for the next day, so I'll talk to him. But it'll be somewhere around that. And then the next day, Sunday, we'll only have one service. Brother Mike Ultig will be here to preach for us, and we will have a catered meal for you. Where's Anna? Did that guy give us a menu yet? Okay. So just to let you know, we're going to have a catering truck here, and you're going to give your menu ahead of time. They're going to give you a menu, Anna or somebody, ahead of time. You write down what you want. It's not going to be like a buffet or anything, but they will make the order, have it ready for us, and then you go pick it up according to what you ordered. And that's just the way we're going to try it this time and see how it works. That'll be Sunday after the first service. We will not have a second service. It'll be July the 4th weekend. So on July the 4th, we always have what? Hamburgers, hot dogs, and watermelon and all that good stuff. Kind of a traditional. So that's kind of what we'll have with the catering truck here. Also remember, Brother Ryan announced July 14, 15, and 16 will be at Brother Andre Head's in Tennessee. The sign-up sheet is downstairs on the refrigerator. We'll need to find out how many rooms to get, so please, if you got to go, sign up and try not to wait till the last minute, all right? The schedule for that will be Friday. We'll have a bonfire in the evening and fellowship. We may do hamburgers and hot dogs then. I'll talk to Brother Andre about that. But Saturday, there'll be activities for the youth, and then we'll have a regular service at about 6 o'clock. And we'll have a speaker there. And then Sunday, we'll have one service in the morning. And I'll be speaking Sunday morning. So just keep that in prayer for July. Brother Andre, he's always wanted fellowship, and he's always wanted us to come and be with him. So we're gonna oblige him. We're going to go there. I see that several have already signed up, so you're welcome to come. There will be service here. So if you don't come, there'll be a service here, so don't worry about that. All right, all minds clear, everything good? All right, this is Son of Man, part 108. We're going to look at a different angle here in just a minute and maybe not change your thought, but help you to think about godliness and not just to be so pure that we walk around like God zombies, you know. No, we're not God zombies, we're humans. But we do have godliness living inside of us, so there's somewhere this thing's got to meld together. All right? We live as humans, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, have a carnal mind. All right? But we're trying to head toward the mind of Christ, which is pure and holy and is godliness. Well, if it's required, then there's something we got to do that'll get us to that. All right? So we're going to see that here in just a few minutes. So let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for this evening. You've given us the middle of the week. I pray that you'd be with us now and sanctify us, Lord. Open us up, Lord. Open our heart to you, Lord, that we'll hear from you, Father. And Lord, I pray if there be any sick among us, Lord, that you'll heal them, Father. I know there's several that are at home that are sick, Lord, and several that are not with us, Sister Rebecca and Sister Anna, Lord, different ones that's traveled to be with loved ones that are not well. Father, I pray that your healing hand would be upon them, Lord. Touch us here now today, Lord. Give us revelation, because that's what we thrive on. That's what we live on. Just as the manna that fell in the wilderness, Lord, let the manna fall today, Father, that we'll get something from you, Lord, and we'll be able to eat it and let it sustain us, Lord, till we meet again. Father, just bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. So we've been talking about the godliness, and then we're going to head toward brotherly kindness. But let's read the scripture here. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. That's what we're heading toward. Only in this end time, as we were kind of trying to show our brothers and sisters this past weekend, that it's not just going to take average reading. It's not going to take average to get us out of here. Right. Average will not get us out of here. Average sustained us through the church ages. Average will get you into heaven. Maybe. Maybe. But exceptional is what we're required now. We're required to live a godly life. That's what we're going to talk about here in just a minute. And something kind of struck me yesterday. No, the day before yesterday, someone said at work, and it's, you never, ever, ever do you have a conversation with somebody about religion, and they don't say, well, I ain't perfect and you ain't perfect. Because you start digging into that, you know, living a little bit higher life. And they're like, no, the Lord don't matter. It don't matter to the Lord if I say that bad word. And I even asked, I said, would you say that in front of your pastor? And she said, well, if that's the only thing I say bad, yes. She said, I probably would say it. I said, well, okay, all right. So you see, that's the mentality of the world. Mentality of the world is Satan has beat them down so much till there's no way to come to perfection. No way. There's no way to get there. Your denomination has just got you sitting somewhere, and you're what? Divided. That's what denomination means. It divides you up. But we're going to be the Word made flesh. Jesus was not... I was watching a guy yesterday on YouTube. His last name's Peters or Peterson, and he's all crippled up with arthritis. But man, he went through that book of God's generals, and he just berated every one of them. Said that all that charismatic movement was false. All that was false. And the Holy Ghost he had inside of him knew it was false. I thought, man, come on. I mean, come on. I mean, what Holy Ghost? We've got three or four different Holy Ghosts. Because the first thing he'd say, he said, oh, they don't believe in the Trinity. Oh, they don't believe. He talked about William Branham. Oh, first thing, he just doesn't believe in the Trinity. And so we've excluded him, called him a charlatan. Called him, you know, some of them he called, they were just wanting money. The different things. But I thought, man, I would not be sitting where you're sitting. No. If I didn't understand it, I'd just say, I don't understand. Even today, we can say, well, we don't understand that. But we've come to a place to where we have to understand. We've got to come to, it's a requirement that when we get our diploma to get out of here, when we have our a deed in hand, what do we have? We have the title deed now back where it should be. The title deed. Now, you have eternal life, but that's not all. The title deed was your earth. The title deed was that your flesh was going to be made word, and your word was going to be made flesh. Now, is the word eternal? Absolutely. The word of God is eternal. Man's words will fall. Man's words will go away. There'll be millions upon millions upon millions of volumes of, especially that guy that wrote. You'll never know, hear about that in glory. You'll never hear about that. You know, you won't need a Webster's Dictionary. But there's a time where you need all these things. But then there'll be a time when they won't be. You won't need that. All right? So 2 Peter 1, verse 5 says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness. That's what we're coming to. Godliness, brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness, charity. And we told you the last time we spoke, that when we get to that charity, there is a gap in there. There is something there. There is something takes place, and we'll get into it. Maybe Sunday we'll get into that part of an interval, because we're all humans. I mean, like today, man, I worked in the garden today for half a day. I took a day off because of my, they pulled some more teeth yesterday, or day before yesterday, and I may lisp and spit, but I'll be all right. But I worked in the garden all day. And went home, and I was tired. I was dragging. The wagon was dragging. But after about an hour of coming in, sitting down, drinking some water, June fixed some wonderful supper, and well, Gary Krantz is not here, but he gave us some meatballs, and they were good. So praise the Lord for that. But I was rejuvenated then. So there was an interval between me working hard. There was an interval where I just took it easy. Kept eating. I mean, it was something I did. It wasn't that I just sat there and didn't do anything. And then now we're at church. So that's the way we need to look at it in the gospel. There's seven church ages, and it's like, you know, it's like bam, 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 bam. Like Brother Brown said, it talks about the Roman candle. Well, there's going to be a time where there's going to be like a pause for everything to catch up. And we better catch up, or I'll promise you, at that moment is when God's going to shut the door to the ark. All right, so don't get left behind. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy, great is this mystery of godliness. Great is this mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world, received up into glory. Now, what do we see? We see that same man back down here. We see him in the true baptism of the Holy Ghost that we're going to see when it says Holy Spirit up here. It's not that the first Holy Ghost is false. It's just when we come to, as Revelation 3:14 says, the faithful and true witness. He wasn't a false one. He never was a false witness. But we'll read what Brother Bram says about that. He explains true, being like you tuning for it. It's true. It sounds right. Everything's the way it's supposed to be. And as we were talking about godliness with contentment, we come to that place where the struggle is about to be over, folks. Amen. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God is manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. That great mystery. Without controversy. If anything has a controversy, there's a dispute. There's a doctrinal issue. Now that you've got the Methodist Church, buddy, they split now. I mean, they're splitting like crazy, and they're abandoning churches and won't let people in certain churches. And that's not contentment. But you and I got to learn to be content while that's going on. Right. We got to learn to be content while that's going on in the message. Ah. So that means we got to move up. We've got to be a little more scholarly. All right? So we know, we've been talking about the plan of redemption. Romans 8, verse 29 said, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. So look, simply, one more time, he saw this. He saw that he would lay the plan out. God himself. Just put the plan out. It's not going to change. Or God changed. So it's not going to change. So as he threw it out, Brother Bob, he threw it out with us in it. Not us coming to it. Y'all kind of quiet tonight. He came with us. With remember, we were in him. So we were in the plan. We were not something he thought of, and then he thought of the plan. As the plan unfolded, as the Bible says, we read it Sunday, the Bible says, in continuance was I fashioned in the lower parts of the earth. In other words, in your mother's womb. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. That's where you were curiously wrought. You were what? There was no way. Now, when we grew up, you didn't even know the sex of the child till the baby came. Right? You used to go to baby showers, and there was a lot of yellow there. For some of you younger ones, you're going, what in the world? No, we didn't know the sex of the baby, so it was either you got something pink or blue, or they'd have to take it back. So you got something yellow. Isn't that right, Mom? You got something yellow, because yellow stood for both. But now look, as we progress in the end time, you and I can see who the baby is, what the baby's here for. We go back to the foreknowledge of God. He foreknew, and he planned according to what he already saw, right, not what surprised him. Right. I believe the devil can't see so much by foreknowledge, because a lot of this stuff surprises him. Right. I believe that. So that puts us in a position to where we look at the devil and we think, well, now, if we look at the pecking order, we think it's God, the devil, or Lucifer, because that's the way the creation part came when he created Lucifer, and then the Genesis 1:26 man. Folks, that Genesis 1:26 man was already in eternity before Satan was made, because you got to remember one thing. Satan was not in eternity. If he was, he's an eternal being. So he was not. He had a beginning, and he's going to have an ending. You and I, in that Genesis 1:26, man, we did not have a beginning, and we're not going to have an end. Amen. If you can connect to that, that's where you were before the foundation of the world. And then the Bible tells us that we were curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. In other words, your parents got together and didn't have a clue what you'd look like, didn't have a clue if you would grow up and be a preacher, didn't have a clue if you'd grow up and be anything. But that's not the way God works. God knew as we grow up. What are you saying, Brother Wade? He knows when we come up to a certain point, we're growing, and then we may have an issue. We may have a problem in our life. Well, he knew that already by foreknowledge, so he can predetermine something to help you. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. Predetermine something to help you, Brother John, once you get there. Amen. It's that matching pieces. There's a piece fell off in the Garden of Eden. Amen? But remember, it didn't get lost. It didn't get annihilated. Brother Brown said, I love what he said. He said, God just took the book back, tucked it under his arm, in other words. I don't know if that's a direct quote, but I believe God just took the book. And he said, okay, I'm going to hang on to this because I'm a Savior, I'm a healer, I'm a Redeemer. And in this book, I got people that I got to save because I already saw. I already saw him before the foundation of the world. To be conformed to what? The image of his son. To be conformed to him. That Genesis 1:26 man never changed. It never will change. It can't change. It won't be created in his image and then all of a sudden created in the devil's image or an image of a dog or a cat. No, it was always created in God's image. The real you, the Genesis 1:26 man, the one that's supposed to be that Holy Ghost. As that brother said, that Holy Ghost that leads you and guides you into all truth. I believe that, right? Amen? And I don't believe, see, he's looking at it as a third person of Trinity. I'm looking at it as God himself. The throne man, in other words. Not getting down to a secretary and getting down to treasuring and getting down to this. No, God had his hand in all this. He has a title, though. He goes by those titles. And we were made in the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did what? Predestinate, he called. All right, he saw it. Saw what we would come to. Saw as this thing unfolded that Boyd would be here in 2023 and you know, Brother Howe would be where he's at in a situation of all those. Everybody's situation never, ever slipped up on God. So now if he sees it, though, Brother Aaron, if he sees it, he looks into our humanity because we're not infinite yet. We are finite. Trying to look at an infinite God, but God's infinite looking at us going, I knew you were going to get into that situation. Here's something to help you if you'll take it. That's where I see a plan. That's where I see that you do have a choice. It's the choice you make. And God, you've already made that choice. You just don't know it. That's why I love that scripture. The Bible says all things will be made new. We won't listen to the disappointments, the trials that Brother Howe went through, the trials that all of us have went through in our life. That's what bombards our brain now, right? Amen. Right? Amen. Not anymore. Because we're going to go back to that Genesis 1:26 thinking to where that didn't happen. That's what we got to look at, folks. This is not so. This is not the way it should have happened. This is not the way God wanted to see it. But to be God and a free and to give you free moral agency, he had to let you do what you do. Because listen, you never can take away his judgeship. He is a righteous judge. He's not just a judge. I was thinking about it today. You know, if you look in the paper or you look online and you see that there was a judge that sentenced somebody to prison and he wasn't guilty. That's not a righteous judge. Now, I'm sure he was going by whatever they gave him, but somebody lied in there somewhere. Somebody told a lie to get to that point. But with God being the judge, he can't lie. Praise the Lord. He can't lie. So his judgment can't be changed, and it's always going to be true. Right. So moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, he justified. As I was saying before, this weekend, try to help the people see that we are special. That we know we did something wrong. We know we got in the pawn shop. We know we got in front of the judge. We know we did something wrong. We know that. But that's what grace is for. But grace is when you walk into the courtroom. I know some of you may have. I've been in it one time in my life, so I don't know. But some of y'all may have been in it more. I don't like them frequent flyer miles in the judge. I don't want to know the judge by name unless he's a friend of mine. Okay? I don't want to know Josh knew all them. Yeah, Josh knew, well, he's throwing it away now, but Josh knew everybody up there. When you frequent a place, you get to know the people. But you've done something wrong and you feel unjust. Everybody with me? This is where we're going to head toward glorification. You feel unjust. You feel dirty. You know you did it. You made a boo-boo. All right, but you walk into this court, and there sits the man you know as Jesus Christ sitting as a judge with his white wig on. You look over, and that same man standing over here, the prosecutor. And that same man is standing over here, the defense attorney. And you look on the judge, and you see 12 people, and they're all Jesus Christ. How would that make you feel? That'd make you feel wonderful. But you know why? Because he knew we'd make a mistake. He knew we would do wrong. And he's going to justify us and glorify us, not by his own will, but he knew what we would do when we walked into that courtroom. We wouldn't be arrogant. We wouldn't be, well, bless God, I got all this. I know all these people, so I'm... No, you come in with... wanting some grace. You come in wanting, I want justice. Man, there's so much injustice in this world. I want justice. So I can go now into the Bible and look at me being, as we're going to talk in a minute about life and godliness, even in our life. We can live a righteous life. Because we know how. Everybody with me? I know it's Wednesday night. But don't fall asleep. Come on. So Brother Brown tells us that you're on the basis of free moral agency. You can turn this down or you can accept it. You know what you can do? You walk into that courtroom, you know you did it. But the jurors look at the prosecutor. The prosecutor looks at the defense attorney. Defense attorney looks at the judge and said, we don't have no witnesses. Right. Wouldn't that make you feel good? Amen. Even though you knew you did it. But you walk in the door and you don't say a word. And they're all going, I didn't see it. They went, call witness, call witness. Nobody comes to the door. That's the way it is. With our sins and whatever we do, our life, we got to understand that when we walk into that room, we're already forgiven. And not just forgiven, they don't know you did it. Because you're going, yeah. No, where's the witness? Isn't that what Jesus said to the woman? They threw her down and said, hey, she was caught in the act of adultery. In other words, he said, did y'all see it? I didn't see it. They said, oh, yeah, we saw it. Well, about 2 minutes later, they were gone somewhere else. There was some condemnation inside of them that sent them somewhere else. And believe you me, it must have been something with more condemnation than they wanted that girl killed. Because the law said stone her because they watched her commit adultery. But what did Jesus do? He got rid of their accusers. He got rid of all the witnesses. And he says, I don't see it. I didn't see it. Go on. He said, go on and sin no more. Don't do that again now. Same way with us. Don't do that again. Because we're going to look at godliness, where godliness is not you just keep doing the same thing over and over again. We got to get rid of that stuff every once in a while. Don't you remember when you first got saved, all that stuff you got over that you got over? Kicked out, moved out, shoved out, kicked out, didn't want no more. It didn't even feel good to be where you thought you were before. That's the step of godliness. That's the step of godliness because, look, it wasn't godliness that got you in that place where you were at. It was the devil that got you in the place where you was at. Brother Bram said, you can turn this down or you can accept it. To turn it down is to be lost and remain potash, calcium, petroleum. But to accept it and have a new heart, a new spirit in his spirit, part of the logos in you controlling your emotions, Sometimes we want uncontrolled emotions. We want the shouting and the speaking in tongues and running the aisles and all that. That's good, fine, and dandy. But where's the new heart and the new spirit? Where's his spirit? Where's part of the Logos at? And you controlling your emotions. And when he coos through his word, you coo back and answer to him. That's why you should say amen when the preacher's preaching. Because you're agreeing with if the Logos is inside of you, you're agreeing because it's pulling, it's bringing those two together. You might not know somebody from nobody, but he comes up here and preaches a wonderful sermon, and you connect with that brother. Well, you don't know him. You haven't known him a day. So what is it then? It's what's inside of you is what connects. Now, you're going to have to make a choice. Jesus said, let every word, man, word be a lie, mine be truth. Now, you got to make up your mind. Now, watch that where it says, let every man's word be a lie and mine be truth. Every man's word be a lie and mine be the truth. Now, you got to make up your mind. You got to make a choice. And this may be your last time to make a choice. Tomorrow may be too late. God might have chose you to eternal life. Now, this is an outstanding quote. This just takes away the pulling through the tube and God's going to make you saved and he made you saved from the foundation of the world. Well, God might have chose you to eternal life. But if you don't make up your mind Those pieces have got to match. Now, God saw a match, or he saw them not. But it was because of what you chose. But if you don't make up your mind and accept it, somebody else will take your place. In other words, what's going to happen? God's going to keep moving on. Because somebody's going to want it. He saw somebody want it. So he's going to move on further. Just like me and you. There's more to this message than just Brother Branham was a prophet. There's more to this message even that we get the Holy Ghost and just start living right. Philippians 2 verse 15 says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. Look, without rebuke. Right. Well, let me tell you something. That's not talking about your regular life. Because you get rebuked all the time. Why do you women do this? Why do you women not cut your hair? Why do you women not do this? Why do you men not do this? What do you mean? You don't say a little bad word every once in a while? I'm telling you, that's what we're fixing to see. That's what's going to separate us and put us into where the Bible tells us life and godliness. And it's in 2 Peter when we've been talking about the statue of perfect man. It puts us into that. I mean, listen, did you walk in here today and just totally believe you were blameless of everything you'd done? No. I'll go ahead and answer that for you. Number one, if you'd have said yes, you'd have been lying, and that took you the blameless part out. Amen? We come to church to get rid of those things, right? But if we do it the right way, come on, somebody, we do it the right way. We've been told how to do it. We know we should know how to do it. If we do that, that makes us blameless. That doesn't have to, what's the old saying, rehash or re-up or bring something back up. That you may be blameless and harmless. The sons of God without rebuke. Look, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. In other words, God did not take us and put us on an island and say, hey, bride, you live right here because y'all are special people. How easy would that be? If everything we done revolved around the Bible, the church, and the message. Wow. Well, that's what we're going to live in. That's what we're heading toward. But not now. God put us in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation. Put us in the most perverse church age. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. Genesis 17:1. Says, when Abram was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. All right, let's get into this just for a minute. That word perfect means one who lacks nothing. Now look, they talk about it in physical strength and beauty. They're sound, wholesome, complete, morally innocent. That's a hard one to swallow. Having integrity. One who is morally and ethically pure. Now let's talk about that in just a minute. Stop right here. That word perfecting, because the Bible talks about how we're going to get perfected. The perfecting of the saints is going to be given to us by the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right? Somebody getting up behind this pulpit and ministering to you, or there are Brother Bob or the different ones asking questions, helping people. That's just the way this economy works, and we can't do it no different. You know why? Because it won't work. You know why God wanted it done that way? He saw it would work. He saw there'd be a division of people that wouldn't want it over here. But he saw there'd be a group of people that would consistently listen to pastors, prophets, teachers, evangelists. And get perfection from that, not perfection from this over here. All right? Because remember, there's a godly and an ungodly. There's godliness and there's ungodliness. All that live godly in Christ will what? Suffer persecution. Listen, it's not so much they hate you. They hate that spirit that's inside of you because it's different from what. Like, just for example, I was telling you about work. And one girl, she just spit off a couple of good ones, and she goes to the Baptist church where me and June was married in. She's a good girl. But, Lord, she let it go one day. And I just looked at her and I said, it kind of floored me a little bit. She said, well, if that's the only, that, you know, in other words, if that's the worst thing I've ever said, and that's why I said, I said, would you say that in front of your preacher? She said, well, if that's the worst thing he ever heard from me, that'd be all right. So, you know, you start backing up and smoothing all that over, you know, well, I made a mistake. You ain't perfect. And that's the same thing she said. She looked at me and she said, you've never said nothing like that? I said, not in 20-something years after the Lord saved my soul. He did not. I have not. They don't understand that, though. Because they're seemingly righteous. Holy. They're seemingly different than the world out there that just throws F-bombs and all this, all every breath they got. But they're just not seeing that they're the same as that. They still got that same spirit. The same spirit that they had then. What happened? Satan has just coated it over with religion. He's just coated all this over with religion. Oh, it's okay. Oh, it's okay for you sisters to wear pants to church. It's okay. It's okay for you. You men to, you know, have a little social drink every once in a while, or you know, if you're real thirsty, get you a cold one. I got one today. Diet Mountain Dew. I know that's hard for some, but it's good. I like Diet Mountain Dew. So what's the difference? What's the difference in me working out in the yard and drinking water, or thinking I'm going to get a Diet Mountain Dew, than for you know, not our neighbor, but just say neighbor, does the same thing. Well, he goes home and he's got a six pack or he goes and gets one. You understand what I'm saying? So life and godliness has got to work together. Amen. It can't work separate. You can't have You can't have the girl at work, you know, saying a few this and that and the others, and then she moves over here and she says, well, you're not perfect, and don't tell me you don't say them things. Listen, they'll call you a liar. They'll call you a liar. She almost did. I said, I've never in 20-something years since I've been saved. No. Uh-uh. And then they're like, oh, come on. Are you secret sinner? That's just like Job's accusers. That's just, right, Bob? They got a bunch of them around you. And they're like, you really do that? You're kind of having a rough time. I bet you slipped up on one there a couple of days ago, didn't you? No, you just had life. Amen. So let's talk about this just for a minute. Is everybody all right? Amen. Godliness is reverence, all right? Respect, piety towards God. And I'm going to say one thing else. Piety toward each other. Amen. Respect toward each other. Amen. Amen? Respect for elders have went out the door. Exactly. Respect for parents has went out the door. Respect for anything. The Bible tells us if you're even a slave. Hello, somebody. Treat your boss right. I'm sorry. Treat your owner right. Well, that's even worse. Treat your owner right? So let's talk a minute about life and godliness. Is this okay? Without controversy. Great is this mystery of godliness. You know why it's a mystery? Because people can't, without the Holy Ghost, they can't live it. Amen. Without the Holy Ghost, because God was manifested in the flesh. Your flesh. Amen. That's why, like I said before, you've got this group over here that just don't care. Right. Curse like sailors. Then you got that group in between that slip up on one every once in a while. Now, I want to ask you something. Slipping up on one shouldn't be. Now, listen, slipping up on one in your justification? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Come on. Brother Brown said that unclean spirit is still inside of you at justification. making you do what you did before. It's just that everything you had done before has been chopped off. That's why we're looking at the higher form of justification. Now, I'm going to do a sermon on that, the higher form of justification, because when we get in here and we get when we get to the baptism of the Holy Ghost and we start living this godliness and we start seeing that that we can live it. Yes. Listen, I've come to a conclusion. I can live this.
Amen.
Now, you may not. The altar's open. Get that thing off you or out of you.
Amen.
I've come to the conclusion. This is it.
That's it.
Sure, I made mistakes. You know what? When she said what she did, I thought the same thing in my head. Well, now get quiet on me. But we didn't entertain it like we used to entertain it. You let that bird just fly right on by. See that? See, Brother John, when we see that, we're like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We've been taught to know that that's not condemning me. Even though it did come in here. Even though it did, but what did it do? It didn't reside there. It just moved on through. Because we still have a carnal mind we have to deal with. But you and I are going to have to, here in godliness, we got to separate that thing. We made mistakes. We are not P-E-R-F-E-C-T as the world sees perfect. Never make a wrong move. Everything at work goes exactly 100% every time. Because perfect is every time. See, that's what they're looking at, and that's why they say, I'm not perfect. You think you're perfect? I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. They're looking at the humanity part.
Amen.
But when it comes down to situations of life and godliness, as we're going to see in just a minute, there is life that we have to live life. Listen, us coming here into this world is contrary to God.
Yes. Right.
It is not so. It's not the way it should have been. Everybody with me? The eternal part of God's mind can't change. That's what we're getting to. We come down here, curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. My substance was hid from thee. What? Me. My humanity. But what happened at the new birth? That's why it's called a new birth. We had a chance. Come on. We had a chance to be born right. We had a chance to be born the way we should have been. That's your new birth. Not just that I'm going to get the Holy Ghost. It's going to clean this out and I'm going to just. No. It brings you to a realization that you have to. Paul, I preached about 25 sermons on it. Do you remember that? Paul said, the life I now live, which many lived another one before. The life I now live, I live by the faith of Jesus Christ. You and I did not live our first life according to Jesus Christ. Well, you can agree with it or not. I'm going to tell you did. But we've got to, as bride, we've got to do, you know, you see the story of the three sisters and the armor meatpacking boy, and you know, you look at Brother Branham and you look at this way, you see, you know, there was a party. The house was full of people. Bunch of girls, bunch of bride, potential bride was in that room, in that house. My mind, the three sisters we know were there, right? So they're putting on their dainties and they're, you know, they're trying to impress the guy. Well, the real bride wasn't even in that house. She wasn't even in the house. She wasn't dressed like the world. She wasn't acting like them. I'm sure them three women looking at this. Now look, let's put the scenario here. You've got an armor meatpacking guy that I'm sure at that time he wasn't worth billions of dollars like they are now, but very wealthy because they made hot dogs and all that stuff eventually. Armor, if you don't know, armor is a hot dog. Okay. It's not an Oscar Mayer wiener because you couldn't sing "I Wish You Were an Oscar Mayer." Anyway. So you know those three girls did everything in their power that they thought. Now, come on, people. They thought they could get to him. Because you know what they were looking at? They weren't looking at his love. They were looking at his money and his status and his, you know, he's up here, we're down here. The washwoman, as Brother Ram said, the fourth girl. I like that number four when it comes to humans. That fourth, she probably didn't even know who he was. But she heard his what? She heard his voice. She probably heard all that going on. And then the armor meat packing guy, like God does sometimes, he said, I'm disgusted. I don't even want to be in that room with them people. I'm going to go find me somebody that I can talk to. And he talked to her. Great is the mystery of godliness. She was trying her best to live a godly life because she had separated herself from the world or from that going on inside. Everybody with me? All right, so denominations. Let's look at this real quick. And then we'll just close here because we can finish it Sunday. Won't be too long. You look at life in godliness, all right? So without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Now, it is a mystery until now. The prophet of God says the mystery has now been made known, or the mystery is now history. So we have the book open to tell us how to live godly. All right, now look. This comes up in our communion. When we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. Chastened means instructed. For 60 years now, since the prophet's gone, we have been instructed. Sometimes by different, we have been destructed by some. But we have been instructed by a group of ministers that's brought us to a place. Not just us here, but there's ministry around the world that's brought people that have instructed the people, or they've been chastened of the Lord, look, that we should not be condemned with the world. All right, so the world is condemned. Why? Let's just throw the blanket out and we know one thing's for sure. We know that they're condemned because they don't have the new birth. All right, so let's just get that out of the way. But let's go over a few things and let's see how that we can live godly in Christ. How that we can live a life that's close to Him. Everybody with me? Amen. Number one, we don't have a whore's forehead. Think about it. We are not a denomination. We don't believe in denominations. So we have been separated from that group of the whore and her harlots. All right? Everybody with me? So that's just one. I'm not going to put them 1, 2, 3, but that's one way that we can live godly in Christ. We don't have a moniker on our denomination. Who do you go to church? I'm Baptist. Remember what Brother Ram said to that woman? Said, are you a Christian? I'm Methodist. That's hard to say now. But we don't have that title. Amen. I hope you don't say we're message believers and that's the reason we're born again. No, we're born again because we know how. Amen. We know how to get born again. We know how to get we know how it feels to be justified. Come on, somebody. We know how it feels to be sanctified. If you don't, please. Please don't sleep until you realize that God has cleaned you up. Made you different. Listen, give you something to make you different by. Oh, listen, but people have took it to the extreme, Brother Donnie. They have cults. And they have these, you got to be with our group. You know, I'm herding my sheep over here now. It's the goat that's herding the sheep. That's a denomination just wrapped up in a message church. So we don't have the horse forehead. We don't have the condemnation that whore system is going to receive. Remember, I just read you. that we should not be condemned with the world. Why is the world going to be condemned? Because they didn't believe. But there is going to be a Catholic church, or whatever you want to call it, a denomination that God hates. Amen. Now you can't live godly and him hate you. Everybody with me on this? I'm trying to pile this thing up where it's not so such a great big mountain, but we do have to pile it up and get it together. And I always wondered why Brother Branham was talking about a woman cutting her hair. The Bible says it's an abomination. How can you live godly and be an abomination? Can't. So see, that's another separation point. Brother Branham said one time, you know, he said, God won't even hear the prayer of a bald-haired woman. Only for her salvation. You look at people like Joyce Myers, her hair's shorter than mine. Amen. And she's just people walking across the platform and just, you know, getting healed and supposedly getting the Holy Ghost. I ain't going to say they can't. But yeah, exactly. She's kind of ugly. But listen, they've attached themselves to godliness. Right. Joyce Myers don't get up. Well, I hope she doesn't see this. Joyce Myers don't get up in the morning and say, I'm just as false as I can be. I'm going to go out here and deceive a couple 100,000 people today. I'm going to go out here and teach them something false. No, she gets up and studies just like I do. Amen. Y'all do. Right. She gets up and she goes to church like some of y'all don't. But she's so deceived, though, she's still got ties to the world. Everybody with me? We're trying to untie this thing. Because the Bible tells us life and godliness, and that we should not be condemned with the world. Right. Now, we can just say and go home and say, well, we have the new birth. According to Malachi 4, according to Luke 17:30, we have the new birth. We've been justified, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. We can go home. I was thinking about it just a minute, right back, sitting right back there. I thought, Lord, why do this? Why struggle? We already got eternal life in our soul. We just go home and sit down. Have you ever not thought about that? Some of you do. Because you do it. But really, I mean, if we got the Holy Ghost, Bob, come on, if we got the Holy Ghost, why do you have to preach 2 sermons Sunday? Why do you have to practice your music for? Really? I mean, come on. We got the Holy Ghost. We can't not have it if we get it. Right? But if you got it, you want more. The problem is people think they got it and think, oh, I'm done. This is it. No, you're just starting. But the denomination, we have no horse forehead. We have no horse thinking. We're trying to get what? The mind of Christ. So you can't have the mind of Christ and have a horse forehead. Everybody with me on that? Remember? Okay. I don't want to say that too many times. But hair. You sisters, if you don't cut your hair, guess what? You will not be condemned with the world. Because 99.99% of this world, ladies, thinks it's okay to cut your hair. Is that not right? Am I pretty close to 99? Can I just say 99% just to give 1% of the whole world? I'm talking about the world. The world is just, it's okay to do that and see nothing wrong with wearing pants. When the Bible says it's an abomination for a woman to put on a garment pertaining to man. The world has attached herself to that. We haven't. Unless you slip around and put some on and then you're still in the world. Come on, somebody. All right? So, now we're trying not to be condemned with the world. We're trying to be chastened or taught. What did Brother Brown tell us? He said Malachi 4 was sent to tie up loose ends. Right. What are loose ends? Oh, it's okay. Oh, it's okay. You just trim a little. I mean, just, you know, do like some people do. And I've seen it here at the church, same way. You don't cut it this way or it's obvious. But if you cut it this way, don't you think we don't see what's going on? Amen. But listen, God knows before we did. Right. So don't fool him. You're not going to fool him. We're going to be condemned with the world by not doing what God said. Right. So we're trying our best to what? Not be condemned with the world. And then that leads us to godliness, not sinless perfection. That's what that guy, that Peter's guy, he said, everything they say is two things in the charismatic movement that everybody's an Elijah. Of course, he was referring to Brother Branham and different people. And everybody thinks that they have sinless perfection and you get a lot of money because of that. He's just blind as a bat, what his problem is. He's blinded by the what? The God of this evil age. He's blinded by ungodliness. Everybody with me, just a second. Our actions, our dress separates us from the world. Our manner of life, as I was saying before. I want to say this. You take a denomination like the church that they're in town in Gillsville or any other church, and you know that it's nothing to them to smoke a little cigarette or take a little drink or say a little bad word just like the girl did. There's no teaching for that. It's all okay because we're not perfected. We're not perfect. We can't be godly when the Bible tells us, I've got 10 more scriptures that says, be godly. To our mannerisms of life. You take churches. Take this church. And I'm going to reach your hand out like this. To pay me some money. No. Reach your hand out like this and do this right here. Pat yourself on the back. Because y'all are not any of you in a divorce case. None of you are in a domestic violence case. None of you have been put in jail for DUI. I hope I'm not hitting somebody here. Turn the camera off. Altar. But see, we look at it and we think, there's no way we can do this. But Donnie, just to look at these people. I'm serious. Look at these people. Y'all live cleaner than anybody on the face of this earth. You live more godly than anybody on the face of the earth. That's what God's looking for. Because remember, he's looking for a separated people. He's not looking for a perfect people. He's looking for a separated people. That becomes, as this list is showing us, that we're not being condemned with the world. We don't need... Bless your heart. You get these big churches and they have a... they have a ministry for divorced people. They have a ministry for single people that are divorced that are looking to get married again. Let's try that out every once in a while. No, we don't ever do that. That's not in our curriculum. Everybody with me? You understand what I'm saying? You sitting here today, you live more godly than anybody on the face of the earth. But you go, I will ask. I got mad. For what? I drove somebody off the road. You better not do that. But some of you thought about it, though. Huh? Listen, some of y'all are not behind bars. Right? 99.9, I hope not. I had to go get any of you out of jail. Yeah, why? Because you try to live the law here. Through the law of life and godliness. The law you see on your book keeps you away from the law man had. You know why man had to write a law? Somebody broke it. You know why you look at these lawnmowers? You look down at the deck of the lawnmower and it's got a guy with his fingers whacked off. Says, do not put your hand in this hole. Do you know why they put that sticker there? Somebody put their hand in that hole and it tore their fingers off. All right? That's what a law's for. A law for DUI. I remember when we were growing up, there wasn't a law. There wasn't a DUI law. I mean, they just take you home. You know what they do? They take you home. Now, I don't know that personally, but I've heard. Praise the Lord. But you see how we develop now, though? We don't have to worry about that. We don't have to have an Alcoholics Anonymous group to meet in church. Are y'all getting what I'm saying? Count that stuff off. Count that part that you don't have to deal with. You don't have to go home and deal with, well, if my wife's going to divorce me or not. No, you're going to work your problems out. Through God. And godly people. Everybody with me? That we be not condemned with the world. We're being instructed by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter 1, 3 says, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now that's part of statue of perfect man. Through the knowledge of him. Look, through the knowledge of him. Who's him? Not me, not Brother Dale, not the other ministers. Through the Lord Jesus in a ministry. Everybody with me? In a ministry that ministers to us. I mean, listen, come on. We go through hard times as parents, as husband and wife. Let's get away from in-laws. But we'll talk about that later. When there's not so many people here, maybe two or three. But even with that, I mean, we joke and cut up. But we love the people that we're around. You might not like to be around them all the time. But there's a love that wants to see them see what you see. Is that not you? I don't want to force something on them. I don't want to make them do something. I want them to just see God. And start acting like it. I was looking the other day that you look through and you see, take psychologists for example. There's psychologists for everything now. For your pets. Figure that one out and call me in the morning. For your pets. Hold on. For you and your pets. Didn't Brother Bram say this world was going insane? It's here. It's here. It's here. I mean, all this stuff that goes on, you look at all this gun violence and everything going on. We don't have to worry about that. If you're born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and you come to church and you do your job and your duty, you're not thinking about shooting up a school. Come on, you're not. That's not even in your thought process. But I promise you, it's in some of their thought process because they're doing it every day. You know, we don't hear about it. We don't collectively put it together. But after that one shooting in Louisville, there was 100... Louisville, sorry. Not Louisville. Louisville. There was 163 mass shootings prior to that from January to that day. 163? Mass shootings, which is two or more people getting killed. This weekend, Chicago... 43 people shot, 9 dead in one weekend because it's Memorial Day and everybody's all hyped up. But Memorial Day is to what? Pay homage to the people that died. Well, some of them decided to go ahead and be part of that people. But you and I, we don't look at that day as anything different. Am I getting somewhere? We just think that, you know, Satan just beats us up about stuff, little stuff. But godliness, as we'll look in just a minute, maybe, no, we're not. Godliness with contentment. With contentment. Listen, you know what love is? You know what real love is? It's contentment. I love my wife, and I am content with her. Just in filial love. Because I'm content. I don't have to go in and have a gun battle with her. She'd lose. Because she wouldn't want to shoot nobody. She's just that way. But that is the thought process in the world, though. Domestic violence is just rampant. What is that? That's a husband and a wife. That's two people that are supposed to be so in love with each other they can't do without each other. Come on, somebody. Yet, there's laws now because of all this that all you got to do is pick the phone up and say, hey, my husband smacked me upside the head. Well, he goes to jail for 48 hours. There ain't no attorney. You don't pass go. You definitely don't collect $200. Right? That's why they made it so serious to separate. I hope you never get to that point. Work on your issues. June and I have been married 44 years. Yeah, we still surprise each other. She said, amen. But there's no thought. There's not a thought process in my mind of getting rid of her. Come on, people. But this world is full of people that would love to get rid of their spouse. You see that woman the other day, she's some kind of advocate, and she's some kind of, they love her, and she's some kind of, angel and a guru. They got her for poisoning her husband. Slowly killed him. While she was doing Oprah Winfrey and all these other places, telling everybody how great everything was, she's in jail now. Because she didn't like her husband. You see how the mentality of people are? But would that enter your, please don't answer this question. Would that enter your mind? Is look over and say, I just like to get rid of her or him. You know why we're not? Because we're separated. Amen. We're separated from that. Now the old me, what would have stopped it? The old you, what would have stopped it? Come on, somebody. It wouldn't have. You're going to do what you are inside. But now that we have that advocate, we have all the different things inside of us that takes us to this right here. And then let's stand our feet. We'll come to a close right here. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Listen, we lean on those promises. The world has no promise. Tell me that it does. No. None. Ask them. Ask a non-Christian. Say, what do you think we're going to do here in about another 6 months or a year? You know they're getting ready in July to change the currency. Not go completely by the dollar anymore. Well, hello, somebody. We already read that news. 50 years ago, we got prophesied that. So we shouldn't be going, oh, really? Like Terrence said one time, if we'd have just really listened to what Brother Brown said, we'd have all bought gold a long time ago. I mean, really? If it's going to go to some astronomical amount of money, and then the Pope's going to, that's the only way you're going to be able to buy or sell, and the Pope's going to, reimburse you for that, we should have bought a bunch of gold. But that's not going to get us out of here. Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, I give unto you. Rise up and walk. That by these you might be partakers. What? These promises that I was telling you. That's why the prophet of God had to come. That's why Zerubbabel had to rebuild that house. He had to rebuild that temple. And what temple was he rebuilding? Jefferson Tabernacle, Brother Branham? Branham Tabernacle? No! He's rebuilding you! He's rebuilding me! Zerubbabel, work on me! Not that world out there. Work on me! Having escaped, look, having escaped. That's good enough for me. Having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. That's a promise! But look, though, verse 5, we'll stop right there. Come on, musician. And besides this, what we thought this whole sermon was we're up at the capstone. No! We just getting started. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. It is not the headstone. It brings the headstone on. But it's not the headstone. Besides this giving all diligence, add. We'll talk about a deity this weekend. Because you and I are deity if you have the Holy Ghost. And deity doesn't make a mistake. Deity doesn't go backwards. Deity is not held accountable to mistake. Jesus, he made all kind of mistakes. Well, yeah, he learned by the things he suffered. He was a human. We learn by the things we suffer. I mean, you should love you even at mom and dad's age, at 60-something years old, being married. Mom will be 81 Monday. You should still be binding closer together. Did we get married to Jesus Christ when we got the new birth? Did we not? And we hate him more now than we did then? We don't like him now. We liked him then, but we don't like him now. No! Love him more. Sure, there's things we have to deal with in life. Absolutely. But don't let them overrule your Christianity. Live what you preach. All of us. And listen, I can start a list over here where we all failed. But not from the Bible. Not from this deity part that we're talking about. Not from this godliness. If the Bible tells us to be godly or have godliness, there's got to be a door for us to get into that. There's godliness right here. But it's shut off. It's shut off and we can't get to it. You know who shut it off? Satan shut it off. First church age. The Holy Ghost, Jesus standing there, though, writing the church ages. He said, you've lost your first love. Right. Just what I said. You've married me. Now you don't like me no more. Yeah. Come on. Kids, you better put that in your cap. You love a guy and you give your heart to him, he's yours for life, and you better believe that. Don't make him out to be a liar. Ain't a lot of lies goes on during the wedding ceremony. But in the world, though, statistics tells us 50% of people divorce in the first 5 years. Statistics. So it must be right. As bride, is that what we're looking at? I'm gonna love him till he don't get. But when he gets sick, or when we have to live in a trailer, we started out living in a nice little like 1,800 square foot house, which cost you $400,000 now. But me and June started out in a trailer, and poor old mom and daddy, we had to scrub the thing. We actually literally opened the doors, mama. She'll tell you. I ain't lying. And I ain't exaggerating. We scraped stuff off the floor. Opened all the doors, took a water hose, and scrubbed that trailer out before me and June could live in it. But guess what? It must have been all right. Okay? Must have been all right. We live in a pretty good house now, so we're okay. We're good. You know why? Because we progressed in love. But I'll promise you one thing. If I ever had to go back and live in that again, I would. I'd live it with her. That's right. Don't open. I would. I'd live it with her. I'm not going to live with nobody else. Because we've been through it. That's right. Same way with your Christianity. We are going through it and been gone through it in all of our Christian journey, every little thing that we do. And we can't. We're not going. In God, we're not going to go back to living in a trailer. We're going to a mansion. Amen. That's already prepared, and it's not prepared on his idea. It's prepared on your idea. Amen. It's built for you and me. That's how much he loves us. That's how much he knows we can do this. We can and will overcome. I'll promise you, the Bible tells us, he that overcometh. Amen. Just give him some time to work. Give God time to work with your humanity. If you're having problems, I know we all do. But when I'm talking about this one, when God requires us to be godly, he's got to make a way, and I just told you the way to do it. And you're doing it already, you just don't realize it. If you're living godly, if you're living pure, no drinking, no smoking, no, all that. Hey, half the battle's over. You're living godly. So, all that live godly in Christ, though, what? Shall suffer persecution. Let's sing a song. Anybody have a need?
The sun, it will never go down.
In that city, well, the sun, it will never go down. The flowers are blooming forever, and the sun, it will never go down.
I feel like traveling on.
This is a long journey, folks. It's been a long journey. But there's an end to this down here. We're heading for something else.
The sun, it will never go down. I feel like shouting sometimes. I do. I feel like shouting. I do. The flowers are blooming forever, and the sun. I'm going to ask the church to be in prayer tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Wade and I hadn't talked at all about this, but Jan and I are going to be in court about an eviction that we've got a person that's been with us probably 15, 16 years. He's almost like family. And he moved into one of our homes 2 years ago. He was homeless, and I gave him a place to live, and all I asked him for was 40 hours work a month. That's all I asked him for. He since hasn't helped us since October when we needed the help most. And I've been patient. My temperance, I've kept it all in check. So I told him I was going to have to evict him, and he said, no, you won't do that to me. And I said, I'm sorry, but it's business. It's just life. Hope it's a life lesson for him and he'll turn his life around. But the bottom line is we have two situations happening here. And one of the other homes we have is halfway on one of the cousin's family property. So I've got to move a home in the next couple months or quicker if they just really challenge us, and that's family challenging us. So there's just a couple things going on top of everything else that's I want to be in prayer about. But the main thing is, what's hurtful about this whole thing is this guy, I'm not asking for much. Just come and weed it. We barter all the time. Somebody getting a tight, come clean my house. Come wash my car. I'll barter with you. I'll give you the farm. Sure. And that's typically what I've done with this fellow. But just be in prayer because I know he's not going to have the right attitude, and he thinks going tomorrow is going to save him because I've already given his first notice and official notice, and Hall County served him. He thinks he's going to get around it, but he's just going to have 10 days is all he's going to have. But he was living in a hole in the ground when I took him in. He dug a hole and lived there on some people's property. Hmm. He burned trash and leaves around their home and burned it down. And since then, he's got married.
So it's a mess. But I hurt because I know he's not going to be able to help himself. But I've done all we've done all we're willing to do. We got the bill for Pop's monthly edition is $7,300 a month. I need that place for income, and I'm going to lose one in 2 months for income. So it's kind of a trade-off. Not gaining anything, but certainly it's just a bad situation. But be in prayer because I like the guy. I would help him. Still happen. But I want to tell you, I'm not the same person I used to be because I wouldn't have that temper, be able to handle the temperance and patience of this.
No.
There's days that we've been in fistfights years ago when we got into this years ago. But, you know, I've learned to be patient with people and just try to give them love.
Just have the right attitude.
Just love them.
Right.
You know. But just be in prayer at 9 o'clock,
right,
if you would.
Okay. You know, the Bible is pretty specific about taking somebody to court. It doesn't say don't take anybody to court. It just says don't take a brother to court. I don't think they're dealing with a brother here. You have to use the law. Because you know what? If that guy, though, was a member of the church or he was a good Christian guy, he wouldn't be dealing with this. Okay? But then you got to deal with it, though. If you deal with the public, you got to deal with those kind of people. And don't let them run over you. I mean, don't. And I know Jesus said he wants your coat or your cloak, give him your coat, too. You can go as far as you need to. But right's right and wrong's wrong. You let the authorities deal with that, and if you'll show a good attitude, then that guy will. It never has been a good attitude to change your attitude when you get an attitude with somebody else's attitude. I never will be able to say that again. But do you understand what I'm saying? If you have the same attitude they do, you're gonna get the same results with them. Right? But if you'll have a different attitude, they won't know how to handle it. And 90% of the time, they'll back off because they don't know how to handle it. They want a confrontation. The devil wants a confrontation with us. But I thought the Bible says resist the devil. It didn't say fight him. It didn't say argue with him. Resist him. Just walk off. Walk away. Get away from it. So we'll be praying for that. There's situations we have to go through. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. Lord, I pray that something's been said, Lord, that'll help us in life. When we go home tomorrow and get up in the morning, the world smacks us in the face, Lord, we'll take it with a grain of salt and continue on, knowing that this is not our home. We're looking for a mansion that you've already built according to our desires. Very soon, Lord. Very soon. Lord, thank you for the brothers and sisters that's assembled today and the ones that attend this church. Lord, I pray that you'd bless them, Lord. Take care of them, Lord. Raise them up, Lord, in the stature of a perfect man, Lord, as we continue with this study, Lord, that maybe it would change our thoughts a little bit about being so weary and tired and seemingly insurmountable odds. But Lord, you're a God that takes those insurmountable odds and makes them surmountable. One man, 1,000 people. One man with an ox goad, 600 people. 600 trained soldiers with the power of God on them. Well, now remember, Lord, we have the power of God in us. Not just an anointing that comes on us, Lord, and we pray that we would cherish that. Cherish it every day that we live. Well, Lord, give you the praise and honor and glory. Be with the ones on the highways, Lord, as they travel back. Be with us, Lord, as we come to Bible study on Saturday night, Lord, 6. And on Sunday, Lord, service for you, Father. Just bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. We won't have any communion this coming Sunday. It'll be the next Sunday because of the birthday party. You're dismissed. Flowers are blooming forever, and the sun